House of Representatives today. They are proposing a bill to undo this success. And this bill is proposed. I don't think she was the one that wrote it. I think this was the speaker told her to run it. But from Escambia County, Michelle Salzman. And, you know, she had been a very good ally for many years. She had had a good conservative record. And I think what happens is these people go to Tallahassee and they go native.
Okay. All I can say is, wow, watching this press conference, this, junket, I don't know what you want to call it, this emotional meltdown that Governor DeSantis had yesterday in Pensacola. Joining us now, we have the aforementioned gone native, liberal colluder, sellout, co-opter, hater of all things conservative, Michelle Salzman, state representative for District 1. Michelle, dear, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Yes. Thanks. I'm surprised you let me on here. I'm so liberal.
I know. It's scary. Probably I am now a raging liberal because I would dare to criticize the Holy One, Governor DeSantis. How dare I? I must hate reforms in higher education, too, as a former university professor. You know, so. All right. Let's start with the bare bones questions. Where did this legislation come from? Was it imposed upon you? Are you too dumb as a female legislator to understand the actual legislation?
Yes. Yes, I'm so dumb. I love to be mansplained. Bring it. No, fun fact, many months back when all of this started happening and we did the joint letter from the Jewish caucus in the House, the chief of staff for the speaker came to me he called me to him, actually. It goes the other way. And he was like, tell me what's going on. You know, tell me what your thoughts are. What is your community feeling? And, you know, we just talked through it. And he said, well, we do have options, but to be honest with you, they will make some very important people angry. And I said, really? And he said, yes, very important people will be mad at you. Very wealthy people, very influential people. And I said, well, then I don't even know any of these people. I just started learning the process of how the Board of Governors are chosen and the Board of Trustees and University Board of Trustees and all the different levels. And so I looked at Matt Ball and I said, but Matt, they don't pay my mortgage. And he just looks at me, you know, questioning. And I said, and if they have to come into my office and tell me they're important, are they really important? And he just started laughing. He goes, I thought you'd say that. So that was the beginning of what you see in front of you today. And I'm just grateful that I've got a leadership that gets it and understands that we have an issue in our community. And, you know, the bill we did a couple of years ago that put the initial search process in the shade was extremely controversial as it was. We barely got that thing passed because, you know, people were like, why are you going to put this in the shade? We like open government. We want the people to see where the money's going and how they're selecting people. So it got a lot of pushback even 2 years ago. So all we're doing is just unwinding that and then putting some term limits. And I don't know, maybe you should live in the state of Florida.
or be a graduate of the school, which I like that. I actually have one suggestion. I know the bill is still in formation. My one suggestion is, I don't want to rule out somebody, a member or two on the board who might be really good candidates who might live somewhere else and might not have gone to the school or might have graduated. You know, because like maybe somebody went to PSC for 2 years, didn't graduate, but they went on to UWF. You know, they don't hold a degree and you know, that kind of thing. I wonder if there'd be a way to add that this is a preference and no more than one or no more than two board members could fall outside the parameters. You know, because like, I'll be honest, I like Adam Kissel. I think Adam Kissel is a good board member. I know a lot of people are worked up about him. I would actually hate to lose him on being disqualified for those reasons. I don't know. Just a thought is maybe that would be a way to make the bill a little bit more broad in terms of who would be allowed. But still, you know, 11 whatever ought to be within those parameters. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And we went back and forth with ideas on how we could address that specific element. You know, folks okay. are really the big shtick is the cone of silence. That's what got the governor mad.
Oh, sure.
He was tolerating the bill until that. You know, no commentary on social media, no feedback at all. But the moment that amendment went in, that was the beginning of the end. And he was very upset about that. The other thing that I've heard complaints about was the Form 6, the requirement for the board members to disclose their financial information.
Yeah, that's weird, right? Like, why would you need? Why wouldn't you want the Board of Governors to have their financial disclosures? Like, that seems pretty obvious to me. It's funny.
Well, I mean, I feel like everything in the bill is common sense, and it's certainly conservative. I mean, if I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I love this. This is exactly where I want to land. Hey, by the way, can we do this too? And I'm feeling that excited about it. And I'm over here carrying Second Amendment bills and other super term limits. And I mean, clearly it matches my mindset. If you read what the bill does and you look at what I do in the legislature, it perfectly aligns, which tells you right there that leadership didn't make me carry this bill. Clearly, it's a bill that matches with my mindset, and I'm pretty sure I'm conservative.
By the way, the principle of having either graduates and or at least Floridians is kind of a local government thing. Like, let's have government closest to the people. I wanted to ask you specifically, there were some weird things around this event yesterday. One of those is I have heard it reported that your people were excluded, courage, he says, is to stand up to the people who are going to, disagree with you. The room is packed of his own supporters. He doesn't let opposition in. In fact, I've heard from B. Thomas, this like, I love Mama B. She is the best. And she was running like, Black Citizens for Trump, Black Citizens for DeSantis. And she was excluded. Like, how do you exclude Mama B from a political event? But is that true? Your folks were excluded?
Yes. So usually when a press conference happens anywhere in the panhandle, I get first notice and they ask me to help get people there.
Right.
But I heard about it through other people. I got a copy of a text message. So then I reached out to DeSantis' team and I said, oh, I usually get first notice, no comments back. And then but I sent it out to everybody and said, hey, it's time to go. Don't forget to go. Make sure you show the support and things like that. And so I had at least a couple dozen people go in RSVP, and they got the response email that says you're in, or I've got it, or received, or whatever. And so they were confirmed to be attendees. But when they showed up, they knew, just based off of other press conferences and stuff, they knew who was and wasn't with me for the most part. A few of my people snuck in. I think that they don't, or maybe they do realize that, I am a huge community advocate. So I have a lot of people that love and support me, that we go around, we do food distributions, coat drives, things like that. So we do a lot together. There's a lot of us. So it's hard to keep track of who's who. But I had a few people that made it into the event, but a lot of them were turned right away. I got pictures and videos. They were texting me. Mama B was just so embarrassed, because she goes in there and she had the confirmation. She's standing right next to Brad Drake, former state house rep, who was completely blowing all of the people off because he knew what was going to happen. Nobody else did. I mean, we had a feeling he wasn't going to be nice, but I didn't realize he was going to go, burn it down.
Right.
I've told people recently, if he thought for a moment he had a chance to go against a Trump endorsement for his wife for governor, I think he just sealed his fate in the panhandle. I don't see anybody in the Pensacola area supporting anything that he does at this point. I mean, what he did yesterday was really, really, it was just poor taste, and it was not well received. But Andrew, I don't know that he knows. I do wonder if his team are just protecting him, and they're making a lot of these decisions. So he goes in there and he starts giving his press conference. And when somebody yells, "We love Michelle Salzman," to him, you can see he's like, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't expect that.
Right.
I mean, of course he knows that I'm loved, but I really and truly question if he really understands the breadth of what he did yesterday. I mean, it's even if he was right on the policy, not the way to do it. You don't keep the people out. You don't keep the conversation away from you. So you can just say that you were in Pensacola.
Right.
Bring it.
Right.
You should have
don't protect the audience and then bring Recall Florida from Santa Rosa County in. I mean, busing people into a press conference. Who's the liberal?
Right, or who's the authoritarian? Who's controlling the environment to make it look a certain way? And look, I'm not gonna put you on the spot with this, but my God, Joel Rudman is your hired gun. Joel Rudman is your assassin to come in, and you know, you think he's popular here? Right. I mean, are you crazy? Like, do you know anything about?
They wouldn't let anybody.
Hey, I do, Michelle. Exactly. I know you got to run to present a bill. If you don't have time to answer, that's fine. But
I've got about five more minutes.
Okay, one of the criticisms was, you know, this is obviously a liberal bill because you're co-sponsor with Anna Eskamani, who is absolutely one of the most liberal members of the House. Take a shot? I've been responding on this too, but you want to take an explanation for this or respond to that?
I mean, here's the thing. The first thing you have to understand about legislation is a co-sponsor has nothing to do with the legislation. All that says is that she likes the bill or she likes the intent of the bill or he. And so there's no writing with, colluding with, help me with. There's none of that. Co-sponsorship doesn't mean anything other than the person that put their name on it is saying, I endorse this message. So, yes, Anna Eskamani endorsed the message, but I would argue she endorsed it mostly because she saw how mad the governor got on Twitter. And the first video was right before the committee that she heard the bill in, and she was not on the bill until that. So, I mean, I think bipartisanship is important. 80% of the work that we do in the legislature or more is, you know, unanimous votes minus one or two. And I think you'll see today that my bill on the floor will be, there'll be like two no votes, but you'll know why those votes are no as soon as you read the names. And so I have no concern about that. And to be honest with you, Andrew, I don't look at legislation and go, is this a conservative principle or a, you know, a left principle? I look at it and I go, do I relate to this? Does my community relate to this? If so, yes, let's go. So, I mean, I fall very – I'm one of the most conservative lawmakers in Florida, regardless of what Joel Rudman says. And so I don't need to question whether a bill is or isn't conservative. I just go with what I know is right, and it leans in conservatism. But conservatives want transparency in government. Conservatives want term limits. Conservatives don't want people from out of the area telling us what to do. We want people to let us, you know, mind your own business, stay out of my backyard. You know, I mean – It is literally the epitome of a conservative bill, and I hate to see that we're in this battle, but I have a great relationship with the governor, Andrew. I'm not changing that. I would hug him if he walked in the room now, and we would probably have a conversation, but I mean, he's not my enemy. We're going to do work together and, you know, just keep moving forward.
Michelle Salzman, I know you're on your way to present a bill in committee. Thank you so much for the time this morning. Thanks for the service to the community. And thanks for trying to actually get into the room where they were going to complain and criticize you. And you couldn't get in.
I
appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon,
absolutely.
Michelle. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right. Bye.